Welcome to Cassandra Explains It All, a podcast where we take a magnifying glass to all of our treasures from the past.
His name is Rich Cronin. You might remember his hit song with LFO. He had a huge hit. I remember this song, Summer
All
Girl.
Right, you remember this?
Sure, you do too.
Okay, perfect. So today we are going to be talking about LFO. That's right, guys. I mean, it's been on my mind for a long time, the light funky ones, as we call them. But the thing is with LFO, the one remaining band member is going to be performing at no other than the Songs for Tomorrow Aaron Carter Mental Health Awareness Tribute, hosted by Nick Carter and Lance Bass, which I find very fascinating, to say the least. I still have so many questions. I'm sorry to derail us on an Aaron Carter, journey within like 2 minutes of pressing record. But I guess I can't believe that it's actually going to happen. I'm curious to see if somebody live streams it, if they're able to. I'm curious to see who performs. I don't know that Nick's going to show up. I mean, with all of the rape allegations, do we think Nick is going to come and perform? I don't know. It's interesting. And the butterfly they use on the poster for the event, it's just all a lot. There will be an quote LFO appearance. Let's really jump into LFO, because Rich Cronin and Devin Lima have passed away. And so Brad is the only remaining bandmate. He's going to be the one that's going to have to show up at the benefit. They were a hip hop band consisting of Devin, Brad, and Rich Cronin, who's a Leo, by the way. And before Lima joined the group in 99, the third member was Brian Gillis. I don't know if anybody remembers him. He was known as Briz. He was included in the inception of the group in 95. So they disbanded after Rich died in 2010, but they did briefly reunite with Fischetti and Lima as a duo in 2017 before Lima died. So and later that year, like right after they got back together, he passed away. I think that everybody remembers them from Summer Girls. It did reach number 3 on the Billboard charts, and the band has sold over 4 million records worldwide. I mean, I was literally obsessed with the song Summer Girls. I have so many distinct memories of this song. I will never forget when Summer Girls came out. I was young. I was on vacation with my family. We were in Daytona Beach, and I remember hearing it on the radio a billion times. Chinese food makes me sick, and I think it's fly when girls stop by for the summer, for the summer. I like girls that wear Abercrombie and Fitch. I take her if I have one wish. Abercrombie and Fitch. I mean, and speaking of Abercrombie and Fitch, right? Before we get into everybody dying and the cancer of it all, just like all of these boy bands that Lou had a hand in, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, they were so polished. And I think that Abercrombie and Fitch was just like the perfect pairing for them, even though we all know how dark it got. Their self-titled debut album came out right at the perfect moment. I mean, it was just as, like I said, the Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, NSYNC made pop music cool again. So right when TRL was taking off, they just exploded. And I know that they never had the huge commercial success that these other bands did, but for me, nostalgia-wise, they were massive. They had more hits than just Summer Girls. They did have Veronica. They had If I Can't Have You. And you guys, I didn't check how long it was number one or if it got number one on TRL, but I feel like I remember it being number one on TRL for at least a few weeks, right? So it says that the New York City radio station Z100 also helped LFO's popularity through frequent promotion and airings of the song Summer Girls before the song's national top 10 status. So I wonder what connection they had there in New York. I'm sure it was through Lou. And then their self-titled debut album, LFO, sold over 2.5 million copies worldwide, with two top 10 hits on the Billboard Hot 100. So Summer Girls and Girl on TV, which I don't know if you guys remember Girl on TV. That's also a really good song, but I think I liked that Veronica better. But Girl on TV was really good too. And Summer Girls was nominated for a Billboard Music Award for top selling single of the year. The song sold over 1.5 million copies in the US. And it does say that the album featured vocals from the original member, Brian, and the label loved the original versions of the records. They left all the vocals from Brian, including his lead on Can't Have You. The group was a part of a show called LFO Live from Orlando in 1999, which... that's super clever. But I wonder if the thing with Brian is that, I mean, it was just contractual, and also they didn't want to pay to, you know, redo all those songs, and they already had an album put together. The year 2000 was a big year for LFO. They were touring. They've got over 230 concerts. They were also an opening act for Britney Spears, just like Aaron. And they co-headlined Nickelodeon's All That Music and More summer tour. They were also pretty big in the UK. Yeah, and Girl on TV in the UK hit like number 6. So in 2000, the band won the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award for Favorite Group of the Year. And then they got their own dolls, which was amazing. They were made by Play Along Toys in 2001. I wonder if I can find some pictures of the guys at the Nickelodeon Kids Choice Awards. So I'll try to look for that after I record. Oh, and another little Nickelodeon connection is that they appeared on the Amanda Show as guest stars. They're singing a song while Amanda danced in the background with the show's signature dancing lobsters at the end, right? LFO described Amanda as the most beautiful girl in the world. How sweet is that? Like, really, right now? Also, side note, is Amanda okay? I just want to know if she's okay. In the summer of 2001, the group released their sophomore and final album, Life is Good, with the release of only two singles, Life is Good and Every Other Time, which was the only commercial release from the album. So when they released that album, it wasn't that big. The hype had died down, the record sales were low, and the boy band trend was kind of coming to an end. LFO parted ways in February of 2002. I mean, makes sense. If you think about all of the bands that kind of came together and disbanded within that time, the boy band, like, pop genre phase of these, like, formulated groups, which was like the 90s version of the Archies, right? That was such a flash in the pan. I think that it's come back with K-pop, but in a different way, but similar. So it's interesting that, you know, they were together, they're over so quickly. Same thing happened with Dream, O-Town, I mean, just all these bands. But of course, with nostalgia, they're all, you know, trying to get back together to do things. Well, not all, but, you know, some of them are coming together. So then later on, after they broke up, they did attempt to form a pop group without it being labeled a boy band. And Rich founded Bad Mood Mike in 2003. So the project kind of failed. It never produced an album, and it ended just like after a few months. Okay, this is actually really sad to me because Rich Cronin is super talented, but he was later in a group called Loose Cannons with Doug Ray. He was also part of the TV show Mission Man Band, which aired on VH1. So I don't know if you guys remember that, but if you can find it, it's Mission Man Band, and it was on VH1, and yes. And then in March of 2005, Cronin sought treatment for constant headaches, right? He got diagnosed with leukemia. I'm going to play a little bit of the Howard Stern interview.
And you had leukemia too, right? You just got over that.
I had awful leukemia. I got this, it was called AML. I just went to the doctor one day. I was losing weight, and my father was really nervous. I was home. I lived in Orlando at the time, and I went to visit them. And he said, the minute I walked in, I said, you look like shit.
Right.
I was like, thanks. He says, you got to go to the doctor. So about, you know, in 2 days, I went to the doctor. The doctor says, wow, you don't look good. I think you have mono. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, mono, whatever. goes, let's take a blood test. And they took the blood test, and I had leukemia, AML.
Cancer.
Awful. It's supposed to kill you in 8 weeks.
How'd you beat it?
I don't know.
How long ago was this?
2005, I got diagnosed.
Are you all right now, or are you?
I am. I don't have it. So what happened?
Gone. It left you.
I got the leukemia, and it was like, this is the worst one you can get. It's very rare that a young guy gets it. So usually older men will get it.
Why do you think you got it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I have good luck. I don't know. It's just awful. But I got it, and I went through all this chemotherapy. And
in
a year later, it came back.
Oh.
Wow.
So the doctor said, look, the only choice you have is a bone marrow transplant. And my brother and sister didn't match me, nor my family matched. So they said, well, we're going to try to look for one for you. But meanwhile, we have to get you back into remission if we can.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a bone marrow transplant. Eventually, I got back in remission. And I went through all this radiation. And
Damn. That must be painful shit.
Yeah, man. And then in June, I had a stroke.
Good Lord.
Wow. From the treatment they were giving me for the leukemia, they were giving me this stuff called IVHG at the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And they put the thing in my arm. I was there. It takes 5 hours, and I'm sitting there. I went to sleep, and the doctor woke me up. He says, Rich, sit up, because I was in the bed. And I said, all right, and I couldn't sit up.
Uh-huh.
And everything, I felt really weird. Everything seemed like it wasn't real. He goes, come on, sit up. He realized I wasn't kidding.
Yeah.
My face started to droop, and he goes, oh, my God, he's having a stroke.
Jeez.
So.
It's a good thing they woke you up.
They caused it.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, it happened right there, and. They told me, like, look, this is from IVHG. So
you think you beat it or what? What's going on now?
I hope I beat it, man.
Hearing him talk about going through the leukemia is so hard. He was in remission. So he stays in Boston. He gets chemotherapy. And then 2006, he was in remission. But then in 2008, he launched his first solo studio album entitled Billion Dollar Sound. So he was on Howard promoting that. And then Lima released his first solo track back in 2006, which, I mean, did get him a little bit of attention because then he got to perform at the 2006 Grammy Awards alongside Steven Tyler and Joe Perry and Maroon 5 and like Joss Stone and John Legend. So that was kind of interesting. But yeah, Lima, along with his band, the Cadbury Diesel, released their debut record, Mozart Pop Art, in July 2008. The release was more like rock oriented. It had a song, Hanging With You. So notably, his band Cadbury Diesel did do a song for American Pie Presents Beta House 2007. So, I mean, that's kind of fun. And also, he's performed music under the alias Live from Orlando, which I think is just clever and funny. In late 2013, did so many projects, like just always trying to work in music. Brad has, you know, become anti-abortion activist. So there's that. During a 2012 religious group protest, he was live tweeting from outside an abortion clinic. In his tweets were the doctor's name, the apparent quote from a nurse claiming financial motives for the services offered there. In a statement to E! News, Fischetti denied harassing any women outside the clinic, but also adamantly stood by his views and said he regrets not speaking out more when LFO was at the height of its fame. He is also the music director for a church. Wow, got a little Kel Mitchell action going on. Okay. And so throughout the years, like 2009, 2010, they work on some things together. There's another reunion and another split. Because 2009, they post a blog, LFO is back, on MySpace. It's on their unofficial MySpace page, guys. And it's an announcement. They had reunited. We're going on the Malcolm Douglas tribute tour beginning September 23rd, 2009, with Rookie of the Year, Go Crash Audio, and Kieran McMullen. And then they had a new song titled Summer of My Life that was also announced. That was going to like be performed as a part of the reunion, but the reunion was very short-lived. They, in like 2009, in September later, they announced on YouTube
LFO videos that they had been permanently disbanded. They never had a chance to record the third studio album due to Cronin's death. So the individual members of the band planned to continue making music. But I mean, Rich Cronin died on September 8th, 2010. So, I mean, he was only 36. He had battled leukemia. I mean, I don't even know, just to be a three-man group, taking all of that into consideration, how the they were ever going to get an album out. But then there was a new single, right? So after he passes, there's a third split. 2017, LFO released the first new song after 15 years, titled Perfect 10. It featured then surviving members Lima and Fischetti, with Fischetti telling Entertainment Weekly that, "We're sincerely thankful and excited to have the opportunity to create new music and tour again. We miss the presence of our late great brother, bandmate Rich Cronin. We will do our best to make him proud, carry on his legacy, and to usher LFO into the future." That's just so sad. In October 2017, Devin Lima was diagnosed with stage 4 adrenal cancer and had one kidney removed. So the news was confirmed by Fischetti, and then Lima dies of cancer on November 21st, 2018. He's only 41. So we've got one bandmate dead at 41, one dead at 36, both of cancer. Just let that sink in. I mean, I can't think of any other band that this has happened to. I can't even imagine what the surviving band member feels like. It's beyond tragic. And I mean, I'm a fan in the sense that, yes, I love nostalgia. Yes, I love a couple of their songs. But I'm sure for anybody who's like a true, true fan, I mean, that's just really heartbreaking. Also, is this band cursed because of Lou just saying?
When that came out, I was 24 years old.
24. And how old were you when you got discovered for the boy band?
20.
Yeah. And what do you have to do? You have to audition and stuff? You have to like...
No. I'm from Boston. One of my friends and I, he, for some reason, he went on tour with the Backstreet Boys.
Right.
Who were nothing. He's always talking about, you know, we got to get with this guy, Lou Pearlman.
Right. Lou was this guy. There was this guy, Lou Pearlman, who was this, like, incredible producer, if you will.
Well, what happened with Lou? Because I knew Lou. Lou used to own Blimps or something. I don't know how he knew about the music business, but after New Kids on the Block, he just got this idea to put together a boy band.
I mean, he had a lot of bands. He had what was Justin Timberlake's band?
Yeah. He had NSYNC. He had Backstreet Boys.
He had, well, my group, we sold
LFO.
4 or 5 million records.
And E-Town.
O-Town.
O-Town, O-Town. Whatever it was O-Town. Called.
He never thought anybody was going to blow up. And then when the Backstreet Boys blew up and NSYNC blew up, and then, you know, we started to blow up, not as big as them, but we blew up. He bought a fucking house that was incredible. It wasn't even a house, it was a hotel.
Right.
On this incredible lake, he started buying Bentleys. He had a $250,000 Rolex with diamonds all over it. Meanwhile, he's stealing all my money, everyone's money.
So we all never knew it. You never got paid?
I didn't get paid anywhere near what I should have.
Really?
And
like, didn't your parents or somebody step in, or your accountant go, "Hey,
yeah,
wait a second, we're not getting paid"?
We started to, you know, we were always on TRL.
Right.
We were always, you know, starting to sell a lot of records.
Yeah.
And I started to say, "Well, where's the money?"
Right.
And it was like, it was just nuts, man. The guy was such a creep. And
Did you make enough money?
The Backstreet Boys had to sort of legally get away from him because he was,
yeah,
you know,
so
the
NSYNC
contracts were so ridiculous.
And NSYNC had to leave. Everyone left
him. Did you end up making any money?
Yeah.
Did you become a millionaire?
No.
Not a millionaire.
Wow.
And I should have made like at least $2 million, $3 million.
Wow.
Right.
Easy. But
yeah.
See, here's what it was. I wrote all the songs for LFO.
Right.
I wrote like Summer Girls and all of them.
Right. So that's your publishing and all that.
Yeah. So when that song blew up, I thought, well, wow, I'm gonna get a publishing deal now.
Right.
He offered me $20,000 for my publishing.
Oh, my God. Did you take it?
Well, I was thinking about taking it. Yeah. I was like, holy, I never had $20,000. You know, I never had any money.
In one lump sum, yeah.
No, never. I was excited.
Oh, he's a real Colonel Tom type, yeah.
And now that, so one of my friends said, "Are you going to take $20,000? I said, "Yeah, it's, you know, it's a great deal." He goes, "You could make a deal for $500,000 tomorrow."
Right, just on that song.
So he schooled me to this publishing thing. So I was like, I got to do this.
Thank God you didn't sign away your publishing.
No. So I started saying, "Hey, let's get some publishing deals." So I put a lawyer out there.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, the lawyer's like, "Oh, I can get you a publishing deal. I can get you $750,000.
Right.
Next thing you know, another song came out called Girl on TV. went top five. And now I can get like close to a million.
Right.
Next thing I know, he comes back to me and goes, Rich, your publishing has been sold.
Oh,
so what
wow.
do you mean?
What
he
do you
says,
mean?
Yeah, Lou sold your publishing for $1.2 million to Jive Zomba.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. So he can do that without your signature or anything?
When I first signed the contract with him,
yeah,
I signed it away.
That's wow. what he. That's what I'm saying about those contracts. He had people signing. They were crazy.
Yeah.
He owned everything.
You must have nightmares about this.
I had to go through lots of therapy.
Right.
I went crazy. I mean, I wrote some big songs, and
you must have some good therapy because
no, I don't.
You're still here.
I know. I went crazy.
Oh. Wow.
I mean, the guy was awful. But
That's awful.
Besides
man.
All this money stuff, the guy was he was really a creepy guy, man. Like, you know,
I met him once. I had him on the show once with some band.
You did?
Yeah.
That was O-Town when they
O-Town,
were being
yeah.
put
oh, yeah.
on MTV. He came in here with the band.
When I got yeah. a hit song, the song went number one.
Right.
He bought me a Navigator in 5 minutes. He's like, walked in. He goes, yeah, you got a Navigator now.
Yeah, of course, because he was busy stealing your publishing.
He stole my publishing. He charged me for the Navigator. The guy's right. a fucking asshole.
I got you a Navigator, but you're going to pay
That's
for
right.
it.
That's right. I just
oh,
bought
he didn't
your
tell
car
me that, though.
Yeah, right.
That
oh,
you
no.
have to pay for.
You thought it was a gift.
Yeah, about 6-7 months later, I found out he's fucking charging me for this
oh,
thing.
Oh, my God.
The guy's awful.
Yeah, you know what? Dude, I'd rather have my money, and I'll go buy
yeah,
my own
yeah,
Navigator.
I'll just decide what kind of car I want.
Also, it's funny how all of these things that they're saying about Jennifer Love Hewitt, keep in the back of your mind that we know that Jennifer Love Hewitt also dated Will Friedle.
It wasn't all bad, though. You got to date Jennifer Love Hewitt. You went out with her for a long time, right?
Yeah, I met her at the Blockbuster Awards. We had the same publicist. I started to talk to her, and I couldn't believe it. She kept talking to me. She was actually interested.
Right.
Later on that night, after the Blockbuster Awards, she gave me her number.
Wow.
I was floored. I was
right.
like, well, you know, because
she's rich and she's hot.
But besides that, I actually was a big fan of hers.
Right.
I worked at Blockbuster
I'm
2 years
before. I have two things I like about her.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at Blockbuster 2 years before that, like putting the movies on the shelf.
Right.
And every time I saw a picture, I say, oh, she's really hot.
Super hot, yeah.
And now I'm at the Blockbuster Awards.
And she's putting the movies on you.
The girl on the video cover just gave you her number.
So did you call her right away, or did you play the game and wait a while?
No, I mean, I was so anxious about calling her. I couldn't. And then I actually got a notebook and I wrote down all these subjects. Like,
so you
okay,
needed crib notes. Right.
Oh no, I had the paper was there. I
shit
was like,
to talk about with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
So when there's a quiet point, I'll talk about this.
Right.
And this, like, I couldn't imagine there being any quiet points in the conversation.
Right.
I'd be awful, awkward silence. So I actually called her up, and
right.
she answered the phone.
Wow.
And we talked for like 2 hours.
Did you use your notes?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was no way.
You went through all two pages. 2 hours. That's
yeah.
a lot of notes.
No, really. I mean, in the whole time, I'm thinking, this is Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Right.
I was a big fan of hers.
Right. So what happened? Did she go out on a date with you or something?
About a month and a half later,
yeah.
she says, why don't you come out to L.A.? Now, mind you, I had no money. I was negative money.
Right.
I didn't have a cell. I didn't have
You'd
a cell
have
phone.
You'd have to go to Lou.
Yeah, it's like how do you
exactly?
You
I
have
did.
To play with oh. Lou's dick,
dude. Oh. It's awful, right? So,
yeah.
so Lou goes. I go. I got to get out to L.A. Lou, Love wants to see me. Lou was like, oh, this could be good. He goes,
right.
come out to L.A. with me. I was like, when are you going? He goes, this week.
Right.
He goes, come with me, because I'm shooting my movie out there, which is another story. But So I go out to L.A. and he goes, you can stay in my hotel with me.
Oh God!
Oh, no.
I have a big suite. So anyways, I went.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I gotta go. So I'm getting my clothes on real fast in the room. It was right. a big suite.
Uh-huh.
And
did you see you naked or something?
No.
No.
And I said, all right, man, I'm out of here. And the publicist picked me up, and we went to Love's house. And it was really weird. Like
a nightmare.
It was really, I was awful.
Yeah.
It was really weird.
What is Jennifer Love Hewitt wearing when you show up at her house?
She was wearing like a ballerina dress.
Really?
With like a unicorn and sparkly, like,
oh, geez.
Bedazzled.
What's her problem?
She was dressing pretty wild.
Yeah, what is that about? That was for the date? She wore a ballerina outfit?
With a unicorn?
I feel like it was a ballerina outfit.
Yeah.
It looked like the dress went out and, yeah, it was.
Like a tutu and all that?
She probably didn't
Yeah, it was a tutu. It was a tutu.
Did she look hot?
She looked hot, but I just thought the outfit was completely
inappropriate.
Out of control.
Yeah, right.
Nah, so I like look. She
At least
was,
it was a girl Hewitt. Better than me
yeah,
with Lou.
Right.
Dude, she was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She's a lot less scary than
yeah.
Lou.
Oh no, I was really wow. it's true. So I went. We went on a date to Universal Studios, and she was totally like into me. I couldn't believe it, man. I mean, and we
How long before you get in her pants?
Well, she asked me to stay at her house that night.
Wow.
Thank goodness, because that meant no Lou hotel room.
I know. It was amazing.
Did you bang her?
Not that night. I didn't even go to her house.
Why?
I was trying to play it cool.
Yeah, that's
crazy. She lives with her mother.
Right.
So I was like, I just was freaking out so bad. I couldn't spend the night. I couldn't do it. I was like,
Plus, you didn't have your notebook with all your notes.
I couldn't talk to her anymore. Right. I didn't know what to say. Right. So I was like, fuck, I got to regroup, think about this shit all night. So I said to my publicist, I was like, hey, can I stay at your house tonight?
Right.
He goes, yeah. What, you don't want to stay with Lou? I was like, no, I don't want to stay with fucking Lou.
It's Lou.
He's like, all right. So Love says, well, if you can't stay at my house tonight, I want to pick you up in the morning. Yeah. I was like, yeah, what time? She goes, I'll be there at 7 in the morning.
Oh, beautiful. My goodness.
She's into it.
So I was like, holy shit. She goes, because I have an audition, and I have to get my hair done. So I'm like,
so you're just going to hang out with her?
I'll fucking go.
Yeah. Right. What else you got to do?
Nah. So that's why I was out there for her.
But that's not a lot of time to study your notes to figure out what
to
talk
about. Right, while she's having her hair done.
So
right.
I just had to sit with her.
Oh.
And I was like,
man.
I was thinking about all this shit, dude. We didn't have any hit records.
Right.
I was nothing.
Right.
And she's like spending all this time with me and wanting to hang out. And I was like, what the hell? I don't understand it, but I love it.
Right.
So So she gets there at 7 in the morning. She hands me a Mentos, like those colored fruity Mentos.
Yeah.
She goes, these are for you. I was like, thank you. And she's like, well, let's go to get my hair done. I was like, all right. And we're in her little Mercedes, like the smallest Mercedes available on the market. And I'm in there like, oh, this is great. You know, because I'm 6'3". And I'm like, this is great. This is awesome. Yeah. And I'm sitting there trying to think of shit to say.
All right.
And, I was having a hard time. She did all the talking, though.
Yeah, she didn't shut up.
My head was spinning, but I was thinking about her, and she was like, hey, will you? She goes, I'm going to get out of the car here. We're at the hair place. She goes, I'm going to get out of the car here and go in. Will you park my car?
Wow.
I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know. I'm going to crash this thing. I don't know my way around here. Right. The thing's fucking miniature car.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
Where the fuck are you going to park it?
I'm going to park it? I'm an awful driver. I'm a fucking awful driver.
I don't know where you are.
I didn't know where I was. I had no idea where I was. And the blocks are fucking huge. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. She got in there. I was like, holy fucking shit. So I'm driving around like the block. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I finally parked the thing. Sweating bullets.
Right.
I walk in the room. I'm like, yeah, your car's out there. It's fine. She was like, cool. So then I sit down on the seat. And everyone's like, everyone, this is Rich. I'm like, hi. She's like, all the hairdressers, you know, hi. She's like, so Rich is from Boston. And he's a boy band and all this stuff. I'm like, yeah. We were there for like 3 hours. Nice. And she was looking at like magazines and going, oh, Tom Cruise looks amazing and all this stuff. I mean, it was bullshit.
Yeah.
Hey, what did you expect her to talk about?
I don't care what she talked about. I was just like, fucking Jennifer Love Hewitt. So then after that, we went to a coffee shop and then she went to an audition. And it was just.
That must have been some audition. Probably sucked.
No, it was for, what was it? Archie. The Archie movie that never came out.
But, Archie and Veronica?
Yeah. She's going to play Veronica.
She was supposed to play Veronica.
She didn't even get it.
No.
Yeah.
So I wrote a song. I wrote a song called West Side Story. I said Veronica. It was about a girl named Veronica. And I was so lame.
Yeah.
I was so lame. I wrote all these songs about her, like, encrypted, like, to her. And this guy and that guy. And rumors about her and Alec Baldwin.
Right.
Oh, she was doing
the movie with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
I was like, I was on the bed having a panic attack.
Right, you were heartbroken.
Oh, so I called her up. I was like, do you have something to say to me? I was the girl in this relationship.
Right.
And she goes like this. She goes, listen, don't you fucking call me up like this when I'm at work. I'm fucking working. Don't you fucking call me like this. If you believe that bullshit, shame on you. I'm like, I just saw 7 pictures of you holding seven guys' hands.
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean if you believe
dated, that? Dated last week on every one. I'm like, the 21st, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? She goes, I'm not going to even discuss this. If you believe that bullshit, you're out of your mind. She hung up.
And that was the last she spoke to her?
No. I called her one time after that. She didn't call me for 3 days.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm done.
Right.
I called her. No, she called me up. And she had the whole thing rehearsed.
Yeah, probably written it down in a notebook.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
She did.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I couldn't say a thing. It was all rehearsed. You're never gonna yell at me again. You're never gonna treat me bad. I'm not gonna be treated like this.
Yeah, putting it all on you.
You know, meanwhile, she's cheating. It's all on me. And yeah. She goes, I'm out of this relationship.
Yeah.
Goodbye. I have to go do the Tonight Show. And hung up the phone.
Yeah.
And that was it.
You never said a word.
And she made it all your fault.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But whatever. She's a great girl.
Yeah.
Sure. A lot of people found her so.
I don't know.
Hey,
man.
You were way into it. You would have married her, right? Sure.
In a second. She's just out there doing her thing.
That ain't the type of bro that would have stuck with you through the leukemia, I'll tell you that.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe she just needs her own episode. Jennifer Love Hewitt's dating history. We could do that for Valentine's Day. That would actually be a really, really, really fun Valentine's Day episode. It's better than Lars and the Real Girl. Which, by the way, guys, if my very good friend Max has a podcast called Measuring Flicks, and him and his co-host Carl are doing an entire month of Ryan Gosling at my request, and they started with Lars and the Real Girl. There's two parts out. Really excited. They're going to do a lot of good Gosling movies over the next 2 months, so I highly recommend checking them out. I handpicked every movie, so yes. But I'm just thinking Love, Valentine's Day, Lars and the Real Girl, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I think you guys would rather hear about Jennifer Love Hewitt's dating history than me do another Gosling movie.
And this guy and that guy, and rumors about her and Alec Baldwin.
Right.
Oh, she was doing
the movie with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
I was on the bed having a panic attack.
Right, you were heartbroken.
Oh, so I called her up. I was like, "Do you have something to say to me?" I was the girl in this relationship.
Right.
And she goes like this. She goes, "Listen, don't you fucking call me up like this when I'm at work. I'm fucking working. Don't you fucking call me like this. If you believe that bullshit, shame on you." I'm like, I just saw 7 pictures of you holding seven guys' hands.
Yeah. I mean, what do you mean if you believe
dated last week on every one. I'm like, the 21, 21st, 22nd, 23rd. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? She goes, "I'm not going to even discuss this. If you believe that bullshit, you're out of your mind." She hung up.
And that was the last she spoke to her?
No. I called her one time after that. She didn't call me for 3 days.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm done.
Right.
She called me up. And she had the whole thing rehearsed.
Yeah, probably written it down in a notebook.
Oh,
yeah,
dear.
She did.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I couldn't say a thing. It was all rehearsed. You're never gonna yell at me again. You're never gonna treat me bad. I'm not gonna be treated like this.
Yeah, putting it all on you.
You know,
meanwhile, she's cheating.
It was all on me. And she goes, I'm out of this relationship.
Yeah.
Goodbye. I have to go do the Tonight Show. And hung up the phone.
Yeah.
And that was it.
You never said a word.
And she made it all your fault.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But whatever. She's a great girl.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of people found her so.
I don't know.
Hey,
man.
You were way into it. You would have married her, right? Sure.
In a second. She's just out there doing her thing.
That ain't the type of bro that would have stuck with you through the leukemia, I'll tell you that.
No, I don't think so.
So, and I mean, she gave him a wedding ring. And then he got leukemia in 2005, right? And he had a stroke from it. Heartbreaking. Okay, so this is inappropriate, but I love Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm not trying to be any type of way. But I do have here in my notes, she broke his heart and then he died. That bitch. I mean, honestly, girl. But yeah, he was promoting Billion Dollar Sound, his new solo album, when he was on The Stern Show. The guy was real talented. I mean, he produced his own music. He wrote his own music. He wrote for the Jonas Brothers. He dealt with Lou Pearlman. I look at the timeline of Aaron and Rich. It's so devastating. I honestly don't know which one is sadder. I really don't. And I did do a little bit of poking around when it came to Abercrombie and Fitch, only because anecdotally, of course, when we think LFO, we think Abercrombie and Fitch, right? So, I mean, there's just so much there, though. Like Mike Jeffries and Leslie Wexner and the Victoria's Secret of it all, and the fact that he was building this his own like utopia of boys to like live on this compound, and you know, it was kind of like this weird high school fetishist ageism cult, and the racism and the sweatshops and the ties to Epstein, and I don't know. There's so much with Abercrombie. It's getting its own episode. It's happening. I mean, Amelia Earhart wore an Abercrombie jacket when she flew across the Atlantic. How crazy is that? So anyways, that's just going to have to be its own thing. But yeah, then Devin died at 41. Like I said, Devin died, Rich died. And I know I didn't focus as much on Devin as I did with Rich, but the thing is that Rich was my favorite. I really think he was so talented. I mean, I think he was talented like Aaron Carter thought that he was talented. You know what I mean? But here is something about Devin. It says, "It is with a truly broken heart that I confirm that Devin passed away early this morning after a valiant battle with cancer." LFO's Brad Fischetti said in a statement, "Devin, as the world knows him, was an extraordinary talent, a doting father to his 6 children, a loving partner to their mother. He was a beloved son and brother and a friend to so many. On behalf of the LFO family, thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love from friends, family, fans, media, and those in the music industry." A few days before he passed away, he said to me, "Bro, when it's over, just tell them I disappeared," Fischetti says. "And my friends, Harold, Devin has disappeared." That is so sad. Oh, I feel terrible for Fischetti. In October 2017, Fischetti revealed that Lima had been diagnosed with stage 4 adrenal cancer, underwent surgery to remove a tumor from his adrenal gland. Yep, and it was just 8 years after Rich. I really can't imagine the headspace that Fischetti is in, having to go through 2 of his band members dying of cancer. He survived Lou Pearlman. He survived being thrown into the fire of the 90s pop singer world. And now he's going to show up at a memorial concert for mental health awareness for Aaron Carter, another singer, performer of Lou's, who he probably spent time with, if we're being honest, and go just perform at something like that. You know, I pray for him and his headspace, because this guy has been on a journey. This is why LFO is cursed. I mean, this is the tragedy of LFO. No one could have thought, with, you know, listening to Summer Girls and seeing how big they were on MTV at the time, and all of the fun and the Hollister and the Abercrombie and the all of it, you know, no one would suspect that, you know, in just a few years, 2 of these band members wouldn't be with us anymore. So it's really terrible. It's really sad. And I always feel bad when we do like such a sad episode, but it is a part of the nostalgia of it, right? Because we loved LFO. I don't think that if you're listening to this, you could take the BuzzFeed "How well do you know the LFO lyrics" quiz and you would get them all right. So it's definitely entangled in our nostalgia. It is interesting that Brad did the whole abortion clinic thing. But they were definitely one of my favorite boy bands from the 90s. Hanson was always number one for me, above NSYNC, above Backstreet Boys, above everybody. I loved Hanson. But LFO would be a close second. I also liked 98 Degrees. We're going to do a lot of music coming up. So I am going to do a Dream deep dive, because I want to talk about Melissa and just give some updates on Aaron, obviously. But we're also going to talk about Sublime. And I think that's going to be next week. Really excited to talk about Brad. Abercrombie will be coming soon. Abercrombie and Fitch. Guys, I started notes to put it into this episode, but there was just so much there. I'm like, this has to be its own episode. There's just no way. I do hope you guys enjoyed learning a little bit more maybe about LFO, about Rich Cronin, about the band. And for me, LFO will always be intertwined with my youth and summer and nostalgia. But there's no getting around the fact that there is this horrible, tragic side to their story that... And I don't understand why there hasn't been a documentary or just even a YouTube deep dive. I mean, go on YouTube and type in LFO deep dive. You're not going to find anything. It's bizarre. I don't know if they just weren't as big as I remember them being, or if nobody cares, but I think it's a tragedy that we're not talking about them. So I'm glad I did this episode. Like I said, we've got lots of musical episodes coming up and whatever else. I hope everybody had an amazing Christmas. Thank you for everybody who has joined the Patreon. recently. I have tons of old episodes on there that you guys should check out. Of course, I just did Lizzie McGuire. Here comes Aaron Carter. I've done Nick Carter's lawsuit recently. The famous Jet Jackson, Lee Thompson Young, LOL. At Drunk Wives Matter, having to call me out on spelling his name wrong in the title. Y'all, that was a crazy morning, okay? I don't really have a good excuse. But you can go all the way back on my Patreon. There are some great episodes that some of you guys might not even know that I did. Like Rated X, which, that's a good episode, guys. That's about Maitland Ward and the stuff that she went through working for Disney, ABC Family, when she did Boy Meets World. I would go listen to that. I have a Kevin Spacey episode. If you guys are more into the movies, I did do Mrs. Doubtfire. I did a lot of Are You Afraid of the Dark, which I feel like it's about time to do another Are You Afraid of the Dark, right? The Craft, Practical Magic, Suspiria, A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints. So there is a lot on there. If you guys are looking, Daria, if you're looking for something less James Franco-y. But I try to keep a good balance of stuff. We've got some Buffy, kind of everything nostalgia you can imagine. But I am going to start deep diving into some Nick at Night, so I hope everybody's excited for that. I'm so glad I finally got to get everything running around in my head with LFO and Jennifer Love Hewitt and Rich out of my brain. I'm so sorry if you guys don't like Howard Stern and that was like unlistenable for you, but I love it. And thank you guys so much for everybody who's a patron. You guys are amazing. I'm going to be keeping my eyes peeled for Songs for Tomorrow to see if Nick Carter actually shows up. And we might get an emergency episode about that. So if you're here for the crazy, definitely stay. Later.
And you write the music and the lyrics and the whole thing?
I do it all, yeah.
You wrote a couple of hits, man. Yeah. That's a valuable thing, you know?
Yeah, it'd be nice to have the publishing, though.
And I would say... if they could, they could also go to my MySpace as well.
Okay. And Mark, go ahead. You have the last question for Rich Cronin.
Hey, now.
Hey.
Hey, this guy is the best fucking representative for Boston I've ever heard. Radio fucking gold.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Stop it, playing with Veronica, she got me now. But her brother got a biscuit and it might go pow. I'm shaking and baking and making and baking and doing what you and your crew ain't doing. I'm grabbing the mic and I'm smacking the mic and I'm still on beat. You can't stop the rush and you can't stop love. So it's time to knock it up and pray to the Lord above.
Says that I just make the world go round. God knows I feel it too. I'm so in love.
Veronica is a song that's in my head. Veronica is a name I've often said. But her friends say she's too good for me. It's kinda like a West Side Story. She's the only one for me. She's the only girl I see. Can't seem to find a damn thing wrong with her. Veronica's a song that's in my head. Veronica's a name I've often said. But her friends say she's too good for me. It's kinda like a West Side Story.